bit artificial, no time for prayer for the person, which of course is crucial, isn't it, for us to be praying for them off the back of the conversation we have, and often that's when God prompts us to bring to mind the things that we can respond to, and helps us to be more gracious in what we say, rather than just do the gently correcting. So is anyone willing to read what they've said? Might be helpful to have at least two. That's all right. Go on then.
Dear Jeff, it was wonderful to meet you today. Thank you for your time and honesty in sharing your life story with me. It takes real boldness to do so and to be so honest, especially in your past struggles with alcohol and the pain you shared about your past marriage. I sense you have much regret about these things. And while I didn't have a chance to share with you what God has to say to you about it, I would love to meet you again to talk further. Because brother, there's very good news. Most think that one needs to atone for their past sins and mistakes before they can come to God. But the good news of God is that he, I can't read my own handwriting, he came to us while we were sinners and atoned for our sin. He makes us clean because we can never clean ourselves up. There is real freedom from guilt, and I would love for you to know that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Great to have a follow-up as well to say we want to talk to you more about this. That leaves the door open, doesn't it? To the friendship, but also to the family level. Anyone else?
I've got a couple of barriers, actually.
I mean, it's not going to be as good as barriers. I'm ashamed of my mind.
Actually, I can give you mine with way less content.
Yeah, okay.
I went for, dear Jeff, it was really nice to meet you the other day. Sounds like you're doing great work helping Bill, his old and elderly. It was really warm to hear about your relationship and how you're helping him.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing so openly and honestly about your life. And sorry to hear how hard it's been. I'd love to stay in contact and chat more. And you'd be so welcome to come along and check out our church family. We meet every Sunday at 4. We're a group of ordinary people with various struggles and messy lives. Mm. But we aim to love God and love each other. And you'd be really welcome to join us any Sunday.
That's great.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah, really nice. Yeah. So hopefully just from those two examples, you can see how in a short, short amount of time, but also in just a few paragraphs, you can say something warm, relational, in response to what someone has just told you, which is obviously massively personal. And so you do that in terms of your listening on the doorstep, but you also do that in terms of your saying, off the back of this conversation, we will give you a thank you card. We'd just like to thank people that we've talked to, so that you'll be receiving that in the week. Hope that's okay, and they say fine. And because it's handwritten, these often get kept. People actually value them quite a lot.
Those are handed back to you by the looks of it.
Yeah, this one didn't make it, I'm afraid. I'll talk about that in a minute, but they're also, if you think, it's sowing seed not just with that person, but with the other people in the household, because you would want to read a handwritten note from a church to someone in your family, wouldn't you? You'd want to hear what they were saying. And so presumably if they're open to that, other people have read them too. So it is sowing seed. Let me just very quickly run through some more benefits, and then I'll also talk about some of the drawbacks of this approach. So benefits, it's flexible, and it can work with few people or many. So we've got groups of people where it's like three pairs, six people going out, and so we do it twice a week. So it can work with few or many in terms of this approach door to door. It's regular, and we found that a rolling program is better. We can always think of reasons not to do evangelism, and it will have more momentum and communicate more about the culture we're trying to create if we do it as a rolling program. It's transferable, and this really does equip Christians, particularly new Christians, to in the kind of conversations they will be having anyway, with their family, about their new faith, with their colleagues. So if they can see what those conversations might look like and learn how to have those conversations and have more confidence having those conversations. It will help them. So transferable skills and advantages and not just a very different thing to what they're doing the rest of the time. It's representative. So we have that survey, but you know, you will knock on every single door. And that means that if the door opens, you are seeing every single kind of person that lives in your area rather than just getting it from a survey. Although that is representative, you actually get to meet people. So it is representative, and it means that you will speak to the people who won't come to your events because they're not interested in that kind of event you're putting on. So attractional events, they're only really targeted, aren't they? Whereas this is representative. Some drawbacks of this is it's difficult to involve two main groups, I found, in our church. The first is parents of young children, and the second is the very frail elderly. But having said that, Dorothy does the letters, just because standing up on the doorstep, walking around, it's not always easy for them. Also, the bottleneck is not fruit from this, it's the follow-up. So in terms of time, you know, invested, the bottleneck is me.
Are you the only one writing letters?
I've done a bit of this with the church. I've done this with my ministry trainee, and he's written, say, half a dozen so far, but we haven't really got that sorted yet. So yeah, it's a bit of a bottleneck. So, you know, percentages, 25, 30 houses visited, half of them will be out on the first visit. Of that half that we speak to, 25% will say no, and the other 25% will be agreeable. That's a quarter of those 25 to 30 houses on the first visit. But then we visit the other 50% again on the Tuesday, Wednesday night, different time, weekday, and then we get the same percentages of out, in, but don't want to talk, in, but do want to talk. So add that quarter of the half, if you get me, onto the quarter of the whole, and you get about a third of the conversations of the doors knock on. So a third of good conversations. That means that if you do 24 houses, that's 8 cards, that's, give me the math, 4 hours, you know, in terms of thinking it through and responding. What to expect, some generalizations just to finish this off, but most of the conversations start with the more superficial stuff and move towards the deeper things, but there are some notable exceptions, and people with a particular religious background will want to talk about that up front, but the family life will be too personal. We don't want to talk about that. That's not in the public sphere. That's not for you to know. So that will be the dynamic. The white working class will gladly disclose the juicy family scandal. You won't believe what my husband did. He ran off with my best friend. But religion is the off limits. It's the no-go area. So it's very different, you know, depending on the people that you meet. Just some first impressions, just to finish off. You said this at the start, but this is our ministry trainee. He said, "I've never done anything like this before. It was a new experience. But as I met with the team, it was really easy to follow in terms of understanding what we're doing and why we're doing it. The partnerships really helped. I was partnered first with Nat and the other time with George. I found both to be great communicators. This obviously really helped." With the partnerships, there is an understanding who starts the conversation and follow up. The open question helped to get the conversation up and running. This question is a good opener, the one that says, "Have you ever had an experience of religion or with the church?" Another lady, Nina, she said her initial reservations about speaking with people door to door were, "People were going to think I'm some weird Bible basher or think badly of me. I don't know what to say to people. I don't want to have to try and convince people to go to church, and people might be angry with me and unwelcoming." She said, "What surprised me when I had conversations, some people were more friendly and open to conversation than you would think." And then these two blinding comments, really. "The Spirit emboldens us to say the right words, and he gives us the opportunities to begin with. He prepares the hearts of the people, and we pray for him to do that before we go out and after we return. And the Spirit also can take away our shame, embarrassment, and self-consciousness, making me think less of myself and more about Jesus and wanting to share him with the lost." So I'll leave with that, and let's pray. And then if there's questions, you can ask me afterwards. Father God, we do thank you for Nina and for Tommy, and thank you that they've had this experience of first contact evangelism. And thank you that you've been working in their hearts. And Nina has said to me before she's going to stop doing it and then start it back up again. We thank you that you're using people like Barry, who's in his late 60s, not a very strong talker, but he's come to faith recently. Thank you that you're using people like that to show people what it would be like for them to come to faith in you. And we do pray that you would be spreading your gospel far and to many more people, and so that they may come into your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Sorry, whistle stop tour.
No, brilliant. And I suspect we've got lots of questions, but we do have a lunch.
Yeah, that's fine.
You're happy to be peppered and
yeah, that's fine.